This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Worries about high inflation are keeping policymakers up at night in many parts of the world, but not everywhere. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In just a couple of hours, we'll get the latest reading on the U.S. inflation situation. Fed Chief Jay Powell said yesterday he's determined to get rising prices under control. Annual inflation registered 6.8% last month, the highest level in four decades. High consumer prices are posing a problem for economies all over the world. An early read on annual Eurozone inflation last week came in at a record 5%. But today, figures from China showed the world's second biggest economy is not struggling with the same issues in the same way. Pantheon Macroeconomics economist Craig Bothan explains why.
Partly that's because the inflation basket is different in China. There's a much higher weight to call it to food, for example. But it's also because they saw far fewer distortions linked to the pandemic. The zero COVID policy, for example, meant they never had a big wave of unemployment or furlough or anything like that. So there hasn't been the same tightness in the labor market to overcome. And as well, Chinese consumers are more insulated by their government against big swings in energy prices. But if we look at producer price inflation, that got as high as about over 13.5% at one point. And so clearly there are some inflationary pressures in China. They're not completely immune from what's happening globally. That is now also starting to come off. And I think actually that's really a good sign for the rest of the world.
And so are those producer prices a problem for Chinese policymakers? And if so, in what way could they combat that?
They do have to keep an eye on what's happening with producer prices, because the more that producer price inflation gets away from consumer price inflation, the bigger the pressure is on firms' margins. So when you're considering the growth side of your mandate as a central bank, you've got to think, are firms going to be okay if we start, you know, if we did hike rates? And if we cut rates, what's going to happen to the cost that they face? There have been efforts made by policymakers on the fiscal side to cut tax and fee costs for these firms. And I think they'll be breathing a bit of a sigh of relief now that these price pressures are coming off, because it basically makes life a bit easier for them in terms of supporting growth.
So China has a no COVID policy, or they're targeting a no COVID policy. Do you think that as the Omicron variant continues to sort of challenge that could throw the inflation picture sort of in a bit of jeopardy or change it in any way as the year goes on?
I mean, I'd say what's happened with COVID in China is that it's helped to keep consumer price inflation in check, because whilst it's not massively disrupted the labor market, it has kept consumption more muted than it might otherwise have been. Right. So you have these rolling restrictions where you prevent people from consuming. There's a slightly higher awareness of the virus, which maybe keeps people a bit more cautious than they might otherwise be. And I think that's one of the reasons why what we call core inflation in China has remained very soft. We've seen almost no movement in it for months on end now. The spread of Omicron, you'd expect, would intensify that, because it will mean more shutdowns of various regions of China, more unpredictable disruption to production and logistics. So you could end up, therefore, with a few more internal bottlenecks, which would see a bit of upward pressure on the PPI. So that's something that they'll be looking to address as much as possible. But I don't think you'll see much spillover to the consumer price side of things.
Even as the country comes out of maybe some of those restrictions later in the year, do you see an increase in demand sort of spurring inflation at any point?
When China does eventually drop zero COVID, you should see a bit of support coming through for consumption. One thing that's offsetting that somewhat is that although consumers may be sitting on savings as a result of being locked in their houses for days at a time, They've also lost a lot of savings because of what's happening in the property market. So consumers will be feeling a lot less secure right now. So the end of restrictions will make things better than they would be if restrictions continued. But I think we're less likely to see much of a pop because of the loss of wealth and the loss of confidence linked to what's happening on the property side.
Craig Botham from Pantheon Macroeconomics. Thanks for breaking this down for us.
No problem.
Well, that inflation data has pushed short-term Chinese bond yields to an 18-month high today as investors bet easier monetary policy might be on the way there. Checking some other numbers now, stocks across Europe are on the rise. Benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are up in the 0.3% to 0.7% range. To Quebec now, which has announced a new push to boost its COVID-19 vaccination rate. It plans to impose a tax on those who refuse to get their shots. As the BBC's Anne Busby reports, the Canadian province is the first to try a measure like this.
Nearly 90% of Quebec's residents are vaccinated against coronavirus, but about half the people in intensive care with COVID aren't. The province's premier, François Legault, says they're placing an unfair burden on the healthcare system. He hasn't said exactly when the tax will be introduced, nor how much it will be. But he said it would be significant, so as to provide an incentive for people to get jabbed. Quebec has the highest number of COVID-related deaths in Canada and is experiencing a surge in cases driven by the Omicron variant.
That's the BBC's Anne Busby reporting there. If you had to guess, where do you think is the hottest place in the solar system? The sun, maybe? No, an industrial estate just outside the sleepy town of Didcot in the south of England. At least it is every time a nuclear fusion reactor there is fired up. The BBC's Justin Rollat explains how one company there is using that to help pave the path to a lower carbon future.
In a nondescript warehouse building on an industrial estate on the edge of town, a private company, Tokamak Energy, is recreating the fusion forces that power the sun itself. Nuclear fusion involves forcing atoms of hydrogen to fuse together, creating helium along with huge amounts of energy.
It's much cleaner and a lot more efficient. You get a lot more energy out of this reaction than out of just burning fossil fuels.
Dr. Hannah Willett is a physicist with Tokamak Energy.
One of the major challenges in fusion is that it's not just physics or it's not just engineering, but there's physics, engineering, material science.
Until recently, fusion was the preserve of huge state-funded projects. Tokamak Energy has built a state-of-the-art reactor here in Didcot and is using it to develop more powerful and efficient magnets, as well as learning how to control the reaction better.
Firing in 3, 2, 1.
It takes the temperature of the gas to 50 million degrees centigrade, 3 times as hot as the heart of the sun. Tokamak Energy expects to achieve temperatures of 100 million degrees centigrade within the next couple of weeks. That is hot enough to sustain a fusion reaction, helping bring commercial fusion a step closer.
Fusion power will be delivered to the UK grid in the late 2030s. Possibly early 2040s.
Chris Kelsall, the chief executive of Tokamak Energy, is bullish about fusion's prospects.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
In the last couple of years, private investment has been pouring into small-scale fusion projects like this. There's been a couple of billion dollars of new investment in just the last few months.
Because cracking fusion would be a huge development for humanity. Creating our own galaxy of tiny suns here on Earth holds out the prospect of a virtually unlimited supply of clean, secure, and very cheap energy. What's more, there's no long-lasting radioactive waste and no risk of meltdowns. The reaction is so fragile, it just stops if anything goes wrong.
That's the BBC's Justin Rollat in the south of England there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.